Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is doing absolutely wonderful today. Some interesting stuff this morning that I wanted to bring up firsthand is that be very cautious about your phones right now. We saw the outage earlier this week with T-Mobile, and we're starting to find out now that part of that possibly was done to reboot the system so they could do the updates on all of the phones in order to put the COVID-19 contact tracing apps on phones. Now, I have not updated my phone. I do not have it yet. I have gotten numerous reports from multiple people yesterday and today now that have Androids that now have the COVID-19 contact tracing automatically updated on their phone. Now, there's a few things of this. First off, keep your location off on your phone. Every aspect of location, Google Maps, whatever you want to do as far as with that on your phone, keep the location off. Do not enable the COVID-19 app. You have to allow it to turn on and basically give it permission. Once basically you give the permission, you can't turn it off anymore. It is then basically set on your phone. And one thing about this, because Lana's phone updated, my wife, her phone updated last night, and I had another person call me up this morning and tell me, and sure enough, I checked her phone. And I screenshot it, and it's updated. Now, she has an Android, I have an iPhone, and I've been refusing updates on my phone for the last couple weeks just because it's a fairly new phone. I don't need updates. It works just fine to make phone calls in Texas. What's interesting in here is it says, it blatantly says right here on her COVID-19 notification. We turned everything off, including Bluetooth, and I'll tell you why. It says right here, your phone uses Bluetooth to securely collect and share IDs with other phones that are nearby. If you have COVID-19, you can share your phone's ID with the app so it will notify others anonymously. Device locations need to be on to detect Bluetooth devices near you. However, COVID-19 exposure notifications don't use device location. Wow, this is what's going on everybody's phone now. It is not something people asked for. It is not something people wanted. Majority of people said they didn't even agree with it. So I encourage everybody, keep all of your Bluetooth off. If you have to connect to your phone for a road trip or phone calls during a road trip, that's one thing. But if you're out in public, leave your Bluetooth off. Leave your locations off. Better yet, you don't even need your phone. If you don't need it, leave it inside the vehicle or use one of the cases that basically completely shut down your phone. This is going to be used. This is in the early stages right now. Remember, Apple and Google both built this together in unison. And you have to understand, this wasn't an app that they put together last month. Understand that. I talked to a tech guy of mine. The level of components and infrastructure to build an app that can talk to every phone via Bluetooth and maintain updates on COVID-19 globally, anywhere you go, autonomously at all times, is not an app that you throw together in your basement in a couple weeks and have it full-blown global ready. It doesn't work like that. These apps took a significant amount of time to build and also test. And so now that they have rolled them out, they are expecting everybody to use them. And majority of people, as you both know, and most of our listeners know, and I've told you about this for years, your location, your permissions, all that stuff, when it's turned on, it's like a big giant tracking beacon all the time. Their microphone's on, your messages are on, they read, watch, look, listen, track every single thing you do. Now, of course, when you turn them off, people say, well, they can still monitor and track you, and they can, yes. But when you give permission, remember, from a legality standpoint, if this stuff ever goes to court or is used against you, if you have never enabled it, if you have never granted it permission, and you have everything turned off, it is a much more difficult road for them to plow because now you have not granted that permission. That's why I encourage everybody, keep your permissions off on pretty much every single app you have on your phone. Unless you have to use them, then turn them back off. But the COVID app is up and running, as we have now seen on updates. So I encourage everybody, use wisdom. It may be more inconvenient sometimes, and certain times you have to use your phone or not have it with you, but we've all gotten so used to having our phones with us at all times that it's just become normal. So if you have to bring your phone with you somewhere, the next best option, like I said, is some of these boxes or little phone cases you can put your phone in, and it completely and totally cuts down the signal. If you want to test it, put it in the box, put it in the little case, and have somebody call it. And if it goes straight to voicemail and it never rings and it never vibrates, then you pretty much clear-cut know that it has no significant signal coming in or out of that phone. What do you think, Deb?
Well, awesome. While you were talking, I went ahead and checked my iPhone. I have an iPhone 11, and it says pretty much I have COVID-19 exposure logging. I have the app on my phone now, too. I never added it. It's unbelievable. When enabled, the iPhone is exchanging random IDs with other devices using Bluetooth. This enables an app to notify you if you have been exposed to COVID-19. And, of course, I have it turned off also. And so, luckily, you know, I keep my stuff turned off. I keep my Bluetooth turned off. I keep these tracking beacons turned off. And I suggest you all do that. I mean, it's not really worth it. Now, does it make it a little more convenient having your telephone so it'll attach to your car phone so you can talk on the car audio? Yes. And if that is a problem, then at least leave it off around your home or when you're out in public. And if you have to turn it back on, turn it on in your car. Because what you don't want it to be doing is using a handset, you know, and talking on it and get yourself in an accident. But, you know, if you don't need it, don't turn it on. In other words, your phone's going to ring automatically. And so you can always, at that point, pull over on the side of the road, turn the Bluetooth on, and then use it on the car and drive down the road. Because it's not going to be nearly as efficient if you're going down the highway at 70 miles an hour, letting you know if you've been exposed to COVID-19. But what a mess, Austin. Talk about George Orwell America. This is absolutely insanity that this is actually happening. Now, Chuck Baldwin wrote a really good letter this week, and it says, why do some lives matter more than other lives matter? And it goes into detail over the 60 million unborn babies of every race that have been mercilessly slaughtered in the wombs of their mothers, and why do those lives not matter? Remember, about 40 million of those children are black lives. And before Christians get all sanctimonious about condemning everyone else for the abortion holocaust that has taken place over the last 47 years, in this country, let's not forget that over 40% of ongoing church-going Christians have sought and continue to seek an abortion. Now, think about that for a second. Christians are seeking abortions. I don't understand how this is happening, but we're going to cover that, what I think could be causing some of that right now. And speaking of biblical respect, for over 3 years, Christians have been willing to completely overlook Donald Trump's utter disrespect for all things sacred. He goes in to slam Donald Trump a little bit as far as what he wants to do. If you want to read this, you can do this what you want to do. Now, his Trump's Supreme Court appointment of Neil Gorsuch, CFR, voted with the liberal wing of the court to, for all intents and purposes, totally dismantle religious liberty in America. The ruling class does much more damage than that, and that's not bad enough. Now, listen to this Bostock decision about having that you can't get rid of gays. We talked about this up yesterday, and I didn't go into detail with it, but I'm going to talk a little bit more about it right now. In other words, if you have a business and you've hired someone, or they come out and become a transgender, or they start bringing some type of subversive teaching into your workforce or workplace, you know, you can't do anything about it. Now, there's a problem with this, as far as I'm concerned. You've got people who have large corporations, which I understand that, but if you've got a church, or if you have a ministry, or if you have a small business, they're telling you that you can't get rid of a person because they're a transgender or gay. This will force churches and Christian schools and religious organizations to hire homosexuals, lesbians, and transgenders. It will require schools to force boys and girls to use the same locker room and take showers together. It will require unisex bathrooms, etc. This is the possibilities of what could happen with all of this. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. And this Neil Gorsuch appointment and G.W. Bush's appointment of John Roberts gave this decision its draconian majority. Now, this is a major, major problem. Now, we have the DACA decision the Supreme Court has come down with, and they've basically overruled Trump on that. And so we have to understand that these appointments to the Supreme Court are being done through the globalists or through the international banking cartels or through the Federal Reserve banks. That's how it always works. You have to look at Bain Capital with Neil, with Mitt Romney, and how he's run all of this, and all of this is tied directly together with transgender promotion, tied directly together with Monsanto and glyphosate and artificial meats, and all of the guys who run the boards of all of these major corporate companies like Bain Capital are all tied directly to the Federal Reserve, and many of them are board members of the Federal Reserve, so they have unlimited access to money. So all of this stuff is being done to overtake and run and absorb all of the corporations on the planet. And what they do, they'll buy a corporation, like a large meat packer or whatever, and they'll basically leave the shell intact, but they replace all the key people in the shell with their CFR members, with their globalists, with their minions that are loyal to the Rothschild banking cartels. Now, one more thing. He says, while Christians, because it's Chuck Baldwin again, and conservatives are loudly and loquaciously proclaiming support for the right of life to unborn babies, they are absolutely apathetic to the right of the millions of innocents killed in the U.S.-sponsored wars around the world, especially the lives of the innocent Palestinians. Since December of 1947, the Israeli military, with the assistance of Great Britain and the United States, exacted an ethnic cleansing against the Palestinian people that took the lives of more than 5 million people and displaced over 2 million people from their homes. This is in Palestine. And the ethnic cleansing continues today with the praise and support of Christians and conservatives all over America. Again, this is tying us directly to the Antichrist, the rebuilding of the Third Temple. Now, this is the pillage, the plunder, the theft, the torture, the rape, the murder that is going on right now. These guys brag from a mile away how they use their high-powered rifles to take knees out. Yeah, just shoot knees, just randomly shoot people's knees out and cripple them and take their legs off from a mile away for sport. Now, guys, there's nothing okay about this. This all comes again through John Darby and Cyrus Schofield. And we need to realize that there are a lot of people out there that are pushing this type of teaching, that if you're Jewish, you don't have to be saved, that you automatically get a pass to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. We've got to understand this. And, you know, Chuck Baldwin does a great job exposing all this in this newsletter. And then he asks us to do him a favor. He actually wants to be named pastor, you know, in the area where he is pastor of the year up in the Flathead Valley. And apparently we can vote from all over the country. So what I've done, I've posted the form on our Health Masters news site. And I want you guys to do me a favor. I very rarely ever ask you to do this because Chuck's a good friend of mine. I'd like for you to go to the Health Masters news site and pull that form up. I've got it right there, Chuck. You see, I've asked you, I'll say right there, you know, go to healthmasters.com, go to the news site and pull the form up. Or you can go to his current newsletter, Why Do Some Lives Matter More Than Others, and you can do it right there. But I really want to go ahead and see if we can, this audience is so large. If you guys will do this for me, it'll be great. And just do it as soon as you get off the show today, so you remember, and vote for Chuck. I did it yesterday. Now, they're going to ask you who you are and stuff like that, but that's not a big deal. It's for Chuck, and they already know who you are anyhow. But, guys, really, we need to get him appointed as the number one guy in that area to try to help his church to grow and to expand. So, again, I don't ask you to do that kind of stuff very often. By the way, Anthony Fauci, this is a guy, this is this wizard, this weirdo, this whatever he is. He says, Americans don't believe science and they don't believe authority. Whoa. Now, that what makes me want to do, and I hate to say this because I'm a Christian, that just makes me want to slap this guy. I mean, I believe science. I do. The problem is the science that is coming out on the coronavirus is so corrupt, is so twisted, and it's all being used to do one thing only, to push the Gates vaccine, which again is controlled through BlackRock and through the Mossad and through, you know, Blaine Capital. It's all controlled through the same group. This is all the Rothschild minions, the Federal Reserve minions that control all these major corporations. Now, because we as Americans, as free people, at least we used to be free. I still believe I'm free because it's a God-given right. I'm going to say whatever I feel I need to say with all these people running around doing this stuff. Anthony Fauci, Americans don't believe science. He's a liar. I do believe science, but science has gotten corrupt. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, served up harsh criticism of Americans on Thursday, asserting that this country suffers from what he described as an anti-science bias problem. That's because, Mr. Fauci, we all consider you to be an idiot. Just thought I'd mention that to you real quick. That's because we know that you're invested heavily into the vaccine industry and that you're about to probably make billions of dollars if we go with a global pandemic vaccine on a thing that's not even a pandemic. It's got the same death rate as the flu does. And guys, listen to me. They're about to close the planet down again. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. They're about to shut it down. They're pushing the rhetoric, pushing the rhetoric, pushing the rhetoric. It's important that we don't let them close it down again. Now, I'm going to say that very clearly. We can't let them do this again. We can't allow them to continue to step on the brake of the economic world engine. We can't allow them to continue to keep us locked in our homes. This isn't okay. They don't consider you to be a human being. They consider you to be an animal, a soulless animal. And we really, really need to just stand against this and not allow them to do this again. It's ludicrous. By the way, you know, a lot of people are losing their faith nowadays. A lot of Christian leaders. Now, I need to say something about that very quickly because we talked about some stuff yesterday on the show about accepting Christ. You know, but Todd Starnes did an article and it says Franklin Graham has a warning for Christian influencers renouncing their faith. Now, why is this happening? A small but growing number of people who've been made famous because of their faith in Christ are now using their own platforms to reject the teachings of Christ. You know, a perfect example is John Cooper, the lead singer of the rock band Skillet, and his best in a Facebook post, you know, what is God's name? God's name is happening in Christianity. Franklin Graham, my father Billy Graham's legacy lives on year after his death. Cooper was expressing deep concern about so-called Christian leaders who are openly renouncing their faith and others who are turning their backs on biblical teachings. Now, let me tell you why this is happening. And I'm going to do it as quickly as I can because Austin has a lot of stuff he needs to cover with you also in a minute. Yesterday, I talked about how we have so many churches that are set up and are established by using a formula. We have pastors who actually attend conferences that give you a formula to start your own church, in which you go into an area, you canvass the area, you find a location, you paint everything black, you go ahead and, you know, you wear your hip designer clothes, you play this rock and roll music in the church, and you take everything about Christianity, the cross, the blood, all of this out of your sermons. And all you do is you may have a momentary pause at the end and say, if you'd like to accept Christ, text it to us. Yeah, that's right. Text it to us. Text us that you've accepted Christ. And so they get text. Well, here's the problem with this. A lot of these guys that are, quote unquote, these influential leaders, they've gotten into Christianity and they've gotten into having their own church because they look at it as a 501(c) corporation, kind of like Planned Parenthood. It's a 501(c) corporation. And what they do is they come in and they do it for financial reasons. They don't have a true commitment to Christ. They may have committed their life to Jesus when they were 4 or 5 years old, but they've never walked or had a really tight relationship, or they may have done it in one of these mega churches and they don't really understand what it means by coming to the cross and accepting Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, what needs to happen at that point is you need to receive mentorship from the church. You need to realize that you need to take up your cross and follow him, and that you need to die to yourself and die to your old way of life. It's called repentance, and people aren't doing that anymore. What they're doing, they're coming up and they're texting their salvation to the pastor or to the church. And I talked to one of these mega church pastors, and I said, well, how do you know these people get saved? Well, they text it to us. And I'm like, well, it's nice that they're texting it to you, but how do you know they've had a true commitment? How about their conversion? How about their repentance? How about them changing their old way of life? Well, we don't do any of that. Well, they don't do any of that. You know, one of the first things that I was told when I first got saved by my pastor up in Tallahassee back in 1979 was, you know, now you've been born again. And the baptism that you receive symbolizes that. It means you die to yourself, you accept Jesus Christ, you're buried with him in baptism, and you go under the water, and you're out of the water, basically, because you want to, you're born again, you're coming out of death, hell, and the grave. You're basically symbolizing that through the baptism event and through your acceptance of Christ. So it's so important that we understand that just saying, oh yeah, I accept Jesus, yeah, it was nice, and then go out and have another beer. No, or go get drunk. No. You know, and I'm not saying that even having another beer is that bad. Just don't get drunk. But the reality is, you know, you need to stop the lifestyle. You know, if all you do is use filthy language, I mean, everything is GD this and F that and whatever, you haven't accepted Christ and been buried with him at baptism, and you don't realize that your mouth needs to change, your life needs to change. You don't need to be going out and committing adultery and telling people that you're a Christian. I just happened a few years ago, I had a kid working out with us here in the gym, and he was working out, he was one of Austin's friends, and literally every weekend he was going out and picking up another girl, and you know what? And all, and finally I said to him, I said, are you still claiming to be a Christian? He goes, oh yeah, yeah. I said, no man, you can't claim that. I said, what's wrong with you? You can't live like that and claim to be a Christian. I said, it really taints people who don't understand what Christianity is. And he goes, well, I never thought about that. Well, it's because his parents never gave him any leadership. And see, and I know that very well too, because his father committed adultery on his mother. It's a whole mess. And they're divorced now. But the reality is this, you've got to learn that those things of the flesh that you did before you got saved need to go away. Now, am I going to say to you that everything that you're going to do from that point is perfect? No, absolutely not. But that's what grace is for. The Bible says in Romans, should we continue to sin so grace may increase? And Paul said, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? So if you're doing things that you did before you got saved, you know, you really need to go back to the cross again and really commit your life to Christ and really ask for forgiveness and repent for what you've done and ask God to help you to live a godly life. Now, are you going to still make mistakes? Yes. You're probably going to say something every once in a while that you know you shouldn't say. Yeah. I'm just telling you. But the reality is, if you do that and you repent and you ask God to forgive you for it, you'll be convicted via the Holy Spirit that when you do something wrong, that you need to repent for that and not live like that anymore. It's just very, very important that I want to cover that with you today, because this is why so many of these Christian leaders who have been basically born again in these churches and they decide they want to start a church, so many of them do it for the wrong motives. And that's why when they say, oh, by the way, I've lost my faith, I'm no longer a Christian. Well, guys, here's a newsflash. They were never a Christian. Okay? They were just saying the words. They never had the heartfelt conviction they needed to have as far as being a Christian. But I just wanted to talk about that this morning just for a second. Austin, what do you think, bud?
That's extremely well said. And I mean, that's why we've seen now so many churches have been capitulating to what's going on. And they're trying to basically keep everybody happy, 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 happy. Let's not talk about anything. Let's just make sure everybody's happy. And the problem with this is it's not the truth. You can't just sit, and I'm not talking about being negative, because obviously you need to be positive and everything else, but at certain point in times, you have to speak the truth. I mean, you can read back some of the old books and some of the old letters and notes from the Revolutionary War, and the pastors in the pulpit were like some of the lead men in the militia. They were speaking the truth, what was really going on. It was not a happy time back then. It was still a great time because they were still in America and they were having their freedom and they're having to defend it. But there were things going on that had to be addressed. And you couldn't just stick your head in the sand and say, well, you know, it's all great. You just need to basically do whatever they tell you to do. I mean, now they're talking in California. They're saying that face masks are mandatory to go out in public. They're not mandatory. And now they're saying that the regular mask people are wearing is not enough. Now you need a two-layer woven cloth mask to walk around, which, I mean, that's like putting double-up T-shirt in front of your face and trying to breathe through it. I mean, if you don't think that's going to reduce O2 levels, then you know nothing about physiology. It's unbelievably unhealthy to do to your body, especially on a full-day basis. I mean, if you're going into a hospital to go visit somebody and you know there's something going on in there and you're going to wear a full-blown respirator, okay, you know, you're going to go in there, you're going to see somebody, whatever you have to do, and you take it off when you go outside. But walking around everywhere you go, every place you do, everybody you interact with, you're going to wear a mask. It's unbelievably unhealthy for you. And again, nobody's wanting to talk about it. Everybody's on this whole racist slave reparation talk now and not even discussing what's really going on again with this COVID. I mean, Chick-fil-A's CEO now is now suggesting that all white people get down and shine the shoes of black people to express shame over racism. I saw it on the Blaze today now, which that means pretty much me and Chick-fil-A are done. Not because I have any problem with shining shoes or doing a job. Yeah, I've helped people out with all kinds of stuff. But sitting there and saying, I'm going to shine your shoes because I'm white and you're black, and I'm sorry that there were slaves in the 1800s, in the 1700s, in the 1600s, in the 1500s, in the 1400s, and back in time, and there's still current slaves now, so why aren't we talking about the slave trade still going on in Africa, or still going on in Iran, or still going on in some of the Muslim countries? Why don't we talk about that? We want to talk about slavery, you know, 200 years ago, but we don't want to talk about the current slave trade. Why aren't we getting on soapboxes and screaming and yelling at the rooftops about child sex slavery and trafficking that's still actively going on, that I think currently now is still the number third commodity in trade in the black market in the United States, last time I checked. Number three, slave trading with children, child sex trafficking, currently, right now. Oh, that's crickets. That's crickets. Nobody wants to talk about that. There are no current black slaves right now in the United States. Give me a break. It's 200 years ago. I'm not saying what happened back then wasn't wrong, but sitting there telling people that they basically need to get on their knees and ask for forgiveness and shine people's shoes simply the color of their skin is full-blown racist to even encourage that. So again, understand what people are telling you and understand what's really happening. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. The dad was talking about the social distancing and stuff. I want to kind of touch base on that a little bit now because this is something that a lot of people don't know. The aspect of social distancing and also isolation, two things that are heavily encouraged right now with this ridiculous virus, was actually developed by the CIA back 70 years ago to break down enemies of the state. Social isolation is a human rights violation. Most people don't know that, which is one par with torture and war crimes. Indeed, social isolation is the primary protocol deployed against enemies in times of war, regardless of time period or country in question. This is due in large to the fact that it's so successful in psychologically destroying the individual without need of any type of bloody or difficult physical interventions. The study of social isolation against enemies of state began in the 50s and 60s by the CIA. In 1960, one of the agency's most active contractors, Lawrence Hilkel of Cornell, confirmed the significance of Hebb's research for the CIA mind control effort. So they're working on what was known as also MKUltra. Through a comprehensive review for the purpose of intelligence, Hinkle found Hebb's work on social isolation in light of neurological literature the most promising of all known techniques. It has long been the customs of captors, police, inquisitors to isolate their prisoners. For which of these methods, Hinkle asked, is most effective? All the standard interrogation techniques have varying impacts on brain functioning and also trauma. But all the possible techniques, isolation is the ideal way of breaking down a prisoner. Hebb's work found that the effect of isolation on the brain function of the prisoner is much like what occurs if they are beaten, starved, or deprived of sleep, however, without the impact on health as far as when it comes down to damages. You go in and you put somebody basically strapped them down, and you beat them with brass knuckles, and you start knocking out their teeth and put them basically and give them, you know, put them into a coma or give them a concussion. There's detrimental effects to that, and most likely you're not going to get anything out of them. However, with social isolation, they have found that it's the most effective, ideal way of breaking down a prisoner. The power of social isolation in context of war and hostage taking was reviewed in an earth-shattering expose released by The New Yorker years ago. In the article, the author revealed journalist Tara Lyons Ordeal, who had been held hostage back in the 80s in Lebanon over a period of years. Anderson was the chief Middle East correspondent for the AP when on March 16, 1985, three men forced him into a car in Beirut at gunpoint. He was pushed into a Mercedes sedan, his head was covered, and he was made to crouch down in a footwell behind the front seat. A month into his confinement, he recalled his memoir, "The Mind is Blank." He said, I always thought I was smart. When all these things happened, I learned, the books I read, the poems I memorized, there was nothing there. Just formless, gray, black misery. He said, we dozed off and constantly sleeping and back awake and back asleep and back awake and basically stuck in solitary confinement. He said, one day he snapped. He walked over to a wall and began beating his forehead against it dozens of times. His head was smashed and he began bleeding before the guards were able to stop him. Reed ultimately required admission to a psychiatric hospital after all this was said and done. Now you look at what was happening to us here the last 2 months, how it's basically safer in place, stay at home. We're all in this together. Those were all psychological warfare techniques and statements, little phrases that they kept telling everybody repeatedly. This is one of the reasons why you had such a rebound effect after the incident with George Floyd. Now, I'm not saying that incident wasn't fueled by Antifa and other situations, but you had numerous individuals who have now been stuck inside for the last 4, 6, 8 weeks, essentially with social isolation, and now they had a reason to go outside and get mad. They had something fueling them. They had a spark that ignited the gas tank, and that's exactly what encouraged a lot of this. Now people are completely and totally sick of it. And again, is exactly what Dad said. They're going to push again for this restriction. They're going to push again for this lockdown. They're going to push again to make everybody wear a mask. Don't submit. Anytime you submit to this, you're submitting to full-blown fear, tyranny, and control over you. It's all about submission. They want you to sit in your home, sit in fear. If you ever possibly go outside to do anything, like buy groceries, they want you to put a mask on in submission and walk around in fear that you're going to catch some unknown virus that, to my knowledge, everybody I've talked to, people that I know that have caught it, people that I know that have said families died of it, I have not found one single incident that a person died directly from COVID-19 and nothing else. Not a single other thing was impacted. Only COVID-19 was the primary factor, and the virus actually killed them. Now, some people may get sick and get pneumonia. Some people may have COPD and already have health problems, and those underlying effects are amplified by the virus and they die. But the actual virus killing an individual, I have found no such research to support that evidence whatsoever. Because they already know that the body is incredibly strong. Even with all the crap we've been exposed to, the body is very, very resilient. It's designed to fight off viruses and bacteria on a daily basis. I think they say on average, we're exposed to 70 average viruses on a regular basis that our body's exposed to and fights off, and you don't even know it happened. So what happens when you start injecting your body with these vaccines that cause a massive autoimmune response, you cause your body to actually, what Dad refers to, is go into a cytokine storm. I'm not going to go into all that. Dad's explained it in detail before. Your body has an autoimmune response and causes inflammation. The vaccine's designed to encourage that. And I told you guys yesterday from the research that I have found, every single COVID-19 vaccine they're producing is built and cultured around aborted fetal cell tissue. This is one of the reasons why the vaccines, once they started moving away from animal as far as culturing, and they went to aborted fetal tissue culturing, they started to have an even more significant side effects because of that. This is the design goal. Psychologically warfare people's brains. Social isolate them. Keep them in their homes. Make them not talk to one another because they have a mask on. You ever noticed? I mean, only time I've worn a mask is one time for about 30 seconds when I went down to the courthouse recently. Other than that, I've never put one on. And that's because the sheriff basically told me it's mandatory. I'm not allowed to go in the building. So I capitulated to walk through security. Then I took it off. Same thing with that. Other than that, I've never worn one. Well, when you go out in public, if you notice, if somebody's wearing a mask, like a teller or basically somebody, you know, checkout line, you know how difficult it is to communicate with them, to try to talk to them? Everything's garbled and mumbled. They're talking to a giant mask. You can't understand anything. Well, if you're talking through a mask and they're talking through a mask, the communication's pretty much zero. This is the goal. They don't want people to communicate with one another unless it's on a monitored device such as a phone or computer. So now everybody's conversations, everybody's contact, everybody's communications with one another is pretty much solely through phones right now, because you're either staying at home and they tell you to sit in your home, social isolate, which I just explained to you was designed by the CIA as psychological warfare, is one of the most effective ways to break down a prisoner, or if you go out in public, you have to wear a mask. So again, you cannot communicate with one another, again, causing psychological issues and restricting your ability to speak to one another and converse and swap ideas that are going on. This is done systemically. Then you go in and you start telling people they're starting to have a COVID-19 tracing app. You have to be traced. Everywhere you go, everything you do, you need to be traced. Everything you say, every person you come in contact with, every building you walk in, you need to be traced. Why? Because it's for your own protection, guys. So now you have the psychological impact of what they've done with lockdowns and face masks. You now have full-blown monitoring of every single thing you do on your phone, including where you go, who you talk, what you look at, everything. Now you drop in the aspect of the health implications from psychologically and from the body, from decreased O2. Most people's O2, they said, are in the 80% range when they're wearing face masks. That requires oxygen. Anything under 90% in the hospital requires oxygen. Most people are not getting oxygen right now as far as walking around with oxygen tanks, not if I have seen. Then you're going to come in now with everybody's immune systems down, everybody mentally fatigued and psychologically battered. Now you're going to come in and mandate a vaccine. So now you're going to come in and inject people with aborted fetal tissue, massively cause an immune response as far as inflammation, and now we get to see what's going to happen with that. Remember, they already did with Moderna the first trial studies with humans with COVID-19. 3 out of 15 people, 20%, 3 out of 15 had to have significant medical intervention because the side effects were so bad. The one individual, I don't have his name in front of me right now, but he's gone on numerous, as far as interviews, and he's gone online now. Of course, they've tried to shut him up, and he said that it was the sickest he has ever been in his life after he got injected with the research COVID-19 text vaccine. The sickest he's ever been. He said, I hurt so bad, I couldn't think, I had a fever, I was nauseous, I unbelievably was unfunctional, and it took basically days to try to get out of it after he got in the hospital and got on an IV drip and they gave them medication. Really? That's really where we're going to go to next? We already know that we've been lied to, and the masks don't work as far as preventing catching it. So why are we still wearing them? Because it's about submission. This is what their main goal is. They want you to submit to this. And the more people walk around with masks, the more people walk around and allow this COVID-19 tracing app to monitor them, the more people stay in their homes and shelter in fear and don't open their businesses and don't travel freely unmolested on their way and don't continue to bring home money through their business or through their jobs, the more you're submitting to a full-blown New World Order. Because remember, they analyze all this through algorithms. They see the backlash they get. They see, basically, the positivity they get. They see the pushback that they get. They run this through all algorithms. The more people capitulate, the more they realize we've reached that level where we can bring in the next phase of a New World Order in. If they have not reached that level, they do analysis on this. They say, listen, we're only having about a 2 to 3% compliance rate on this. Nobody wants to wear masks. Everybody's opening up their business. Everybody's talking on their phones how they're not going to take a vaccine. Remember, that's exactly what was happening a month and a half ago before the riot started. It was going viral on every social media site. The fact that Facebook was having to completely and totally censor everything that was getting published because so many people were talking about it. Well, now what's overtaken all that? The riots have. So now most people on social media are more concerned about the racist talk and how you need to go around and shine black people's shoes because you're racist. The next thing they're going to start saying is, we need you to allow us to have sex with your white wife and your white women in order to prevent racism. I'm telling you, that's the next step they're going to do with this rhetoric. This is the Marxist way. It's to completely come in, subvert the
culture make you, whoever is the main predominant culture in the United States, that would be Caucasian individuals, is to completely bring them down to an animalistic-like approach and say, you are not human. You had slaves 200 years ago. Even nobody alive ever had slaves. My entire family's from Germany. I had nothing to do with the Civil War whatsoever. But they're going to say, everything you do is racist. Everything you say is racist. The only way to make you okay and pay your penance for what you did 200 years ago, even though you had nothing involved with it, is to basically make you subhuman. You now, in turn, are witnessing in the United States complete and total reverse racism at its finest example. And the problem is most people don't even see it happening. And you got idiots like the CEO from Chick-fil-A ranting on now. Why? Because that's a Christian business, or I should say allegedly was a Christian business. And Christians, unfortunately, are incredibly gullible, and they follow the rule of law to a T in most cases, and they don't like to fight back because they think the Bible tells them that they cannot defend themselves. In some cases, that's what some Christians believe. Understand what's being done to our culture. Understand what's being told to us right now. And understand it is all about submission and control. And the more you do it, the more they're going to push it. I myself am not going to submit to any of this. I have not done so from the beginning, and I will not do so in the future, and none of my family will do so. And most of my close friends will not do so either. That is the resolve we all have to stand on, because if you have convictions, if you have beliefs, if you have ideals that you believe, why in the world are you going to change them now just because somebody told you to do so on television? That means that your ideals and your convictions were never yours to begin with. It means that you are basically a floating reed that falls over at the slightest bit of conflict, and you don't want to deal with it. If you have a true conviction, a true ideal, a true Christian background, then you understand what has to be done right now and how you have to maintain and keep those ideals and stand up and fight for those that basically are standing with you. That's my stance on that, Dad.
That's a really, really strong section, Austin. You know, and here's the thing. Let's just stop for a second. Let's breathe and say, look, everybody's saying that the Democrats are doing this to prevent the reelection of Donald Trump. So they're saying that Fauci's coming in and he's doing this to prevent the election of Donald Trump. And we know that Fauci's a hardcore Democrat supporter of Clinton and Obama. Okay? Okay, we got to stop for a second. He's got to just pitch to rewind, right? Donald Trump is president. Listen to me. He's president. He hasn't fired Fauci. He can sign executive orders now out the yin-yang and start changing all of this stuff. He hasn't done that. Where is his executive order making Black Lives Matter or making Antifa or anybody else's organization that's basically radical leftist who are basically going in and trying to usurp the Constitution of the United States, where is his executive order declaring these people terrorist organizations? He said that he's going to do that weeks ago. He hasn't done that. Even if he gets overthrown by the courts, at least sign this stinking thing and put it through and get it done. He's not doing that. Everybody wants to believe that the Democrats are the ones that are doing this. The Democrats are pushing the vaccines. Didn't Donald Trump say he's going to use the military? Didn't Donald Trump say that he was going to use Operation Warp Speed? Didn't Donald Trump say this himself? So let's stop playing the little game here that this is a Democratic takeover of the United States trying to oust Donald Trump as president of the United States. Donald Trump is president of the United States. He has the power of executive order right now. Whether he can do anything else or not, who knows? It seems like the only way he can communicate is via Twitter. I mean, it's ridiculous, but at least start signing the executive orders and pushing them through. And get rid of that wretched son-in-law who's a Kabbalist and his daughter in the White House telling him what to do. This thing is an orchestrated psychop is what this whole thing is with Trump. Say, well, I can't believe you're talking about Donald Trump again. Think through it with me. He did not fire Fauci. I mean, he basically gave Fauci control to tell us all we're a bunch of dummies and we won't listen to anybody, we won't listen to science, all because Fauci's directly linked with the manufacturing of these vaccines with the Bill Gates and Bain Capital and the Federal Reserve Banks and the guys who want to enslave us with tracking chips. And they want to force this junk on us. Remember what I said a couple of months ago when that one pastor got arrested? I said, if you're going to fall on your sword, fall on your sword when they come to your home and they try to force you to take these vaccines. Then right after that, Trump says, Operation Warp Speed, Operation Warp Speed. You know, what the heck? How about, no, I'm not going to sign any bills for Operation Warp Speed. No, I don't want this to be developed. I think this is wrong, trying to force vaccine on people, the Nuremberg codes. I mean, bless his heart, he's not very well read. I mean, he knows how to do some construction stuff, I guess. But, you know, like I said, he can't speak in complete sentences. I mean, is this just something that he's being completely in control over right now? Does he actually not even want to be president again? I don't know. He sure did a great job signing that executive order, didn't he, guys? Signing over the Golan Heights to Israel. Did that, didn't he? Sure did a great job signing that executive order, moving the American embassy from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem. That didn't slow him down, did it? We know he can sign orders, make up orders and sign them. We know he can do that. Now, the courts may overrule him. They have the ability to do that, but it's very difficult. Where is it declaring Antifa a terrorist organization? Well, they're not going to allow him to do that. Because Antifa is basically the brainchild of the globalists who ran the Russian Revolution, who were using the same Antifa group, the same Antifa theology, to do this. Now they're using the Black Lives Matter. Well, let's talk about the Battle of Dern in 1805. Most people don't know about the Battle of Dern in 1805. This is when it was a decisive victory in April, May of 1805 of a mercenary army recruited and led by the United States. This is the first big war we had after the Revolutionary War. And it was the Marines under the command of U.S. Army Lieutenant William Eaton, diplomatic to the Council of Tripoli. Now, remember this song from the Marine Corps, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli? This is where the song came from, all right? This was a war against the Barbary pirates. And they were basically in the northern part of Africa, and they were continually going in and raiding people in the Mediterranean in order to enslave the occupancies of the towns they raided. Now, there's a really good article I've posted. It's called History, the Forgotten True Story of the White, W-H-I-T-E, Slaves of Barbary by Bushrod Washington. This is done a couple of years ago. I pulled it back up and I reposted it. In this media climate, and if you're a student of pop culture, you think that slavery was invented by white people and only practiced by white people. While slavery is a shameful legacy of many nations, America included, it was neither invented nor promulgated by American colonialists or European explorers. It was done by the bankers, who it was done by. Slavery was around in biblical times and continues to this day in much of the world, especially in the Islamic world. Forgotten in the current narrative is the story of the Barbary slave trade, where 1.25 million white Europeans were enslaved by Barbary pirates in North America. In the 17th century, Barbary pirates raided coastal cities in Italy, France, Spain, Portugal, and even England and Ireland. In one Irish town, Baltimore, practically every inhabitant was captured and used as black slaves in Africa or on sailing ships, never to set foot in Ireland again. The Barbary Coast is the European term for the North African areas now known as Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and Libya. The pirate attacks were so severe that many coastal towns along the Mediterranean were abandoned until the 19th century for fear of raider capture. While this might seem like a race-based slavery, that's simply not the case. As the site AncientOrigins.net points out, in reality, the corsairs were not concerned with the race or the religious orientations of those they captured. Slaves in Barbary could be black, brown, white, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, Jewish, or Muslim. And the corsairs were not only Muslim. English privateers and Dutch captains also exploited the changing loyalties of an era in which friends could become enemies and enemies friends with a stroke of a pen. And this went on for over 100 years. Now, guys, what's important that you understand is it didn't matter what their skin color was. And finally, in order to put a stop to these Barbary pirates, the United States went in. It took years. To the shores of Tripoli, and they said, "The heck with you clowns, we're getting rid of you." This is what's so important to understand. And also remember this. In the United States, before the Civil War, Eli Whitney developed the cotton gin. And this cotton gin was developed to reduce the amount of money being paid out in slave labor to pick cotton. And once Eli Whitney had developed the cotton gin, the use of slave labor became antiquated and very, very expensive. That's why so many of the plantation owners were getting rid of their slaves. Now remember, when Lincoln freed the slaves, he freed the slaves in the South, not in the North. Don't forget that. Lincoln wasn't the great emancipator. He was a great communist is what he was, with his letters back and forth to Karl Marx and his satanic wife. We've got to look at history with what really happened. It's so important. Now, let's go back to CHOP, the thing out here in Seattle. Seattle CHOP leader spills the beans. But Blow's narrative says, I'm not here to peacefully protest. What? A leader of Seattle's so-called Capitol Hill organized protest area says peaceful protest is not one of her priorities. Documentary filmmaker Amy Horowitz shared with Fox News a short clip of his interactions with protesters, including CHOP leader Jadine Grayson. Here's her quote. Every single day I show up here, I'm not here to peacefully protest, Grayson says. I'm here to disrupt until my demands are met. You cannot rebuild until you break it all the way down. Whoa. Whoa. There have been numerous violent incidents in CHOP since the police vacated the precinct in the area now controlled by protesters. And Grayson, using the words of slain civil rights leader Malcolm X, said she will support whatever tactics achieve her goal. Guys, what are you going to do? I'm asking you now. What are you going to do if someone breaks in your house and they want to rape your family, kill your family, and watch you watch them, make you watch them do it? What are you going to do? Are you going to stand at the door and welcome them in? Or are you going to say, no, I don't think you guys are coming in here today? Are you going to defend your family by whatever means necessary to keep them from doing these horrible things to you and your family? Christians need to wake up and realize that I realize that we're supposed to walk in peace and in love. But there are times, even in the Old Testament, where God would tell the Israelites to go out and do things and get rid of people that were causing all kinds of problems, including a lot of the people that had been inbred with Nephilim DNA. So if we have a satanic group coming to your home and they want to come rob, kill, steal, and destroy, we're supposed to let them sit there and do it. No, I'm not going to allow that. You think, well, you should allow that. No. If we do that, we can extinguish Christianity pretty doggone quickly if we want to do that, if we always want to lay down and die. We have to continue to bring honor and glory to God. Now, should we do it as best we can with negotiation first? Yes, but guess God, I'm going to let you guys know something. A lot of these guys aren't here to negotiate. Yesterday, I had a good listener. Good friend. And she said something about, I talked about it, me having to kill that Doberman that was attacking me years ago. And, you know, she said, a lot of people don't like it when you tell that story. And, you know, and I'm going to say, stop here for 1 second. I didn't want to have to kill that dog. That wasn't my objective. I had already offered to build the neighbor a kennel to put the dog in multiple times because the dog kept getting out. But when it comes to that point, when push comes to shove, it's either you or the dog, or you or the barbarian, or you or the Barbary Coast pirate, or you and the satanic minion that's trying to get into your front door, you got to make a choice at that point. What am I going to do? Am I going to defend myself, my household, my family, or am I going to allow them to come rob, kill, steal, destroy, and rape my family and kill my girls and kill my wife and all the other things that they'll do? Where are you going to draw the line? My friend told me, well, people have stopped listening to your show because you talked about that dog story. Guys, I love animals. Austin's got a great dog. I mean, he was hanging out with me all day yesterday on the back porch. I mean, great animal. We had a Burmese cat here at the house, but we never let her inside because of toxoplasmosis. And, you know, because I don't want to get a brain parasite from a cat. But I would always wash my hands when I petted the cat or I petted the dogs. That I've had dogs too. I'm a great animal lover. I really am. So for me to go out and shoot an animal like that is very difficult for me to do. But ask yourself a question. If you're being attacked by a dog or a wolf or a rabid animal or a person at your front door who's trying to break in to come rob, kill, steal, and destroy, where do you draw the line? I don't want to shoot somebody. I've told you guys that 100 times. When you do that, your entire life changes forever. Everything changes. That's not my end goal. And also talked about it at length yesterday about don't go into these crowds and try to provoke stuff. Just let other people be involved with all that. Stay away from it. But don't be scared to defend you and your family. And if you have to be, and see, I understand that women sometimes, and I'm not fussing at all women, and I'm not fussing at women at all, are nurturers. And that's how they're wired. I got that. Now, some women basically are like to go out and like to hunt and do all kinds of other stuff. I got that too. But guys, ask yourself a question. This is the reason we've allowed Christianity to get so compromised, because we're not willing to do what it takes to get it done. So important, guys. I love you. I appreciate you. Had a great week of shows. Austin will be on Hagman tonight. Love doing a show with you guys today. Got to pray for you this morning. I appreciate you. Austin, finish it up.
Absolutely, guys. And again, thank you for the continued support of everything of Health Masters. Keep standing your ground. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for your convictions. Do your convictions. Fight for them. Stand up for them. Don't capitulate with all this nonsense that's going on right now, because, like I said, the more that people are doing this and submitting to this, the worse it's going to get. Until we stop and hold the line and say, no, I'm not going to get some vaccine that has aborted fetal tissue in it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to continue to take my vitamin C. I'm going to continue to take my D3. I'm going to stay healthy. I'm going to keep eating clean, and I'm going to live my life freely. Like free men do in a constitutional republic, you have to have that resolve for what's going on. Because I'm telling you right now, as I've said it multiple times already, there's something going on right now as far as on the backside. There's way more to this. And as we're starting to see what's really happening, this isn't going to stop. They're going to keep pushing it. So again, stand your ground, speak your mind. Thank you again for supporting Health Masters, sending out the emails, sending out the shows. More and more people are getting exposed to them and listening to them. And, you don't necessarily have to agree with everything. I don't care. A lot of people disagree with me. I disagree with other people. We can all agree to disagree. That's one thing about America that's great. But when people start telling you that if you don't agree with them and you don't do what they tell you to do, they're going to beat you up, or they're going to call you basically a racist and demonize you and try to take everything you have, well, that's a different story. Now we're not disagreeing anymore. Now you're blatantly trying to involve and take away my civil liberties, especially when you burn down a business. That's horrific. Your livelihood. It's your how you make money. Stay awake, guys. Stay prepared. I'll talk to you tonight again on the Hagman Show. Have a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you again on this show Monday as always.